Welcome to the Butts the Seats podcast, episode number 113.
And we are finally past the Great American Bash hump.
Yes.
Finally.
We're on the road to Bash at the Beach.
The Great American Bash at the Beach.
We said it before, it is weird that these are back to back.
Yeah, it's too many bashes.
I guess in hindsight, Great American Bash should have been during July.
Yeah, that should have been like 4th of July. Bash at the Beach should have been like end of July.
Not to be confused with Spring Breakout.
Yeah, there's not really a great timeline for this, because you're right, Great American Bash should be around 4th of July, but Bash at the Beach should also still be in the summer, but like August is back to school, essentially, so that's not really summer in a lot of people's mind. So if you're doing a summer pay-per-view in August, that kind of like, I don't know.
Look, SummerSlam has jumped around so much that I don't know what month it actually is anymore.
That is true.
But anyway, with all that, I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, what is it we do here?
Well, Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of WCW through the late 90s and early 2000s, and we are very, very strongly on the downward spiral at this point.
See, today, it's that, but it's not that. Today, we eat our vegetables before we get 3 weeks without Vince Russo.
That's true. That is true.
This is very much, take your lumps. Take your lumps.
I've been taking my lumps for the last year.
It's been nothing but lumps. Go see a doctor. But we're here today to talk about the June 12th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro. We were placing bets on where this show was going to be, considering last night was in Baltimore.
Woo! So it makes sense usually for it to be either in DC or go up to Philadelphia in the Pennsylvania area. No.
I mean, it went to Richmond. It's like a 3-hour drive. It's
Richmond
not that crazy.
Richmond is not nearby.
It's 3 hours.
That's not a 3-hour drive, is it? Yeah, is it really only 3 hours to get to Richmond?
Depending on how hard DC fucks you.
Yeah, Fredericksburg is the land where traffic was created. So, like, I feel like going south into Virginia, you're screwed.
Regardless, you can do it in a day.
Yes, you can do it in a day. You're right.
And you really should be able to make it on time in a day, too.
You would think so. If you don't, though, you have a great excuse. Caught in traffic in Fredericksburg.
So most of the backstage notes I have are going to come up during the show or at the very end of the show.
Okay.
The two things I'll note is this show did a 3.0 to Raw's 6.8.
When you say 3.0, that doesn't sound that bad, but then you say it in comparison, it's like, yikes.
Yeah. And apparently as soon as Nitro ended, like 40% of the audience switched over to Raw, which is more than usual.
I imagine those were people that were flipping between the two during commercials, too.
I don't have that info.
Yeah, I mean, like, in this day, in this era, I can imagine the majority of the audience is flipping between two. Ideally, both shows are good, so you want to see what's happening on both.
Yeah, I don't know what the metrics are for how long you need to be on one for it to count or what, yeah. But with that, I guess we can get into this show. It's kind of a strange one in that we recently, on the Patreon, reviewed a TNA Impact where it's like, cool, we're going to get like half the roster today. And this kind of felt like one of those shows where it just didn't feel like everybody was here until like the very end where they popped their heads in. But like, it seems like only half the stories are being picked up from the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true. But it didn't necessarily feel empty when it came to the talent. I wasn't like missing people.
We start with a Great American Bash recap, and then backstage, a limo arrives. It's Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff smoking cigars.
This is the most carny shit. They both, like, step out of the limo, smoking these massive cigars, just, like, big cheesy smiles. Like, they look like cartoon villains.
They open the other door to reveal Goldberg, and he's wearing some heel sunglasses, so.
But he's not smoking a cigar.
No.
Good man. Healthy man.
Yeah, so in case you missed it, Goldberg has turned heel and joined the team of Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo, which I referred to them as the powers that be last week. And
we haven't called them that a long time.
Well, because
that
was just Russo. Mm. When he was doing his bullshit Dr. Claw fuckery.
Yeah.
Like, they never really was like a group name for these two.
No, because they don't really need a group name, I don't feel.
Yeah, the closest you have is R&B Security.
Yeah.
R&B consultants. We then get the Nitro graphic leading to the opening pyro. On commentary, we get Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and a shirtless Scott Hudson.
He says he's shirtless because he dogged on Russo being shirtless last week, so this is like a punishment. I don't remember the dogging.
I think it might have been from last night where it's like, oh, sorry, you had to see him shirtless because Flair chopped him.
I don't even remember that line.
Yeah, it wasn't that big a thing. However, apparently it was supposed to be all three of them shirtless, and Tony and Mark went, no.
Wait, then why did Scotty say yes?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know why I call him Scotty, yeah. But his name is Scotty now. Scotty Hoods.
Tony Schiavone talks up the buying the replay for Great American Bash. Like, if you buy it, you can see Sting get lit on fire.
Yeah, they're very careful not to say what actually happened in that match. Just in case you buy the show. Like, were the buy rates really that bad?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the number was you said.
I mean, it wasn't good.
But this felt a little bit more desperate than usual.
Yeah.
This was like, please buy it. Please clap.
Yeah, a little bit. We get Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo coming out to the ring. Bischoff brags about how good his surprise was.
Okay, but this pissed off both of us, because during the Great American Bash, he kept being like, you know what? No, there's no surprise. So was Goldberg the surprise? And
yeah.
Eric Bischoff was just being a little bitch, or was like, was a call on the fly? Like, what happened? What happened?
No, I think it was just more like how stupid it was, because when Goldberg turns heel, Mark Madden goes, surprise! And I'm like, so were you in on it then, motherfucker?
Or? Yeah, pick a lane.
Yeah, but the part I got mad about was they're like, oh, the surprise was so good. But also, it shouldn't be a surprise because we have so much in common.
So is it a surprise or is it not a surprise? That's kind of where I was like, was this actually the surprise or did something get pulled? Like,
it was the surprise, but they openly say that it shouldn't have been surprising.
So you're undercutting your own surprise. Yes.
Bischoff says that the Millionaires Club would talk shit about Goldberg to avoid him taking their spot. And I'm like, there's probably some truth to there.
Yeah, probably.
Ironically, the one who's probably actually talking the most shit is the one that Eric Bischoff is shoot closest with.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Goldberg is on their team, and while Bischoff loves the fans, Goldberg is sick of them.
I'm tired of these kids coming up and asking me for autographs and kissing their babies and signing their shit. I just want to come out and wrestle. Like, shut up.
You're jumping the gun a little bit, because Bischoff actually brings out Goldberg, who, like, doesn't do any of his entrance. He's just, like, wearing a baseball shirt.
Yeah. But that was what he essentially said when he came out.
Well, I'm surprised you're able to hear it, because commentary just, like, weirdly interjects in, like, every pause possible. Like, they're not quite doing what, but they're, like...
Mark Madden is horrible at that stuff.
But Tony Schiavone's all over this one, too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. It's like, Goldberg has a line of, like, people are asking me why. And Tony Schiavone's like, that is the question that we're all asking. Let him
fucking
talk.
What?
But the answer to that is... why the hell not? Tony, let him fucking cut a promo.
No, I think that, like, Mark Madden, too, does not know when to stop talking. So usually when that kind of stuff happens, I just assume it's Mark Madden. And I just, I don't know, deafen myself to it. I just ignore it.
Did you catch Goldberg's new catchphrase?
I'm chasing ratings. I don't know.
Fear this.
Fear this?
Yeah.
Instead of spear this?
Well, his whole thing was who's next.
That should still be his whole thing, though. He hasn't gone through the whole roster.
They really dance around the fact that Jeff Jarrett is the world champion, and I guess Goldberg doesn't want the title.
Well, yeah, because again, who the hell is that guy? We don't care about Jeff Jarrett. He has the belt as a placeholder.
Kevin Nash comes out to the stage and says he can't listen to any more of this shit. He also notes that the people are tired of it.
Tired of you!
Nash says Goldberg doesn't understand who made Goldberg. Like, oh, the company gave you everything on a silver platter.
But also...
but the Millionaires Club made Goldberg. I'm like...
so which one is it?
So the company gave him everything, but you guys gave him everything.
So does he have double everything?
Also, are you just flat out saying you were only a star because we allowed ourselves to lose to you? Like,
correct.
That's what you're saying, but is that what you're saying?
I mean, Kevin Nash will do anything in his ability to make himself look bigger.
Yes.
Yeah, like, he will never put himself under. Like, he will always make sure that he comes out on top of any situation. So, of course, he's going to twist this to be like, yeah, I allowed you to get to where you are. Of course he is.
Nash says he's not leaving the arena without Goldberg's blood on his hands.
Good Lord.
And then police hold Nash back and cuff him, and then either they mace him or Russo maces him. And Russo's like, okay, no, you're going to release him into my custody. We're booking a match. He books Nash versus Goldberg for tonight.
I'm amazed you didn't make a Pokemon joke about the mace, because that mace did nothing.
It didn't.
He was back out in the next segment. He's fine.
He's in handcuffs.
even in the cop car when he's in handcuffs, he doesn't look like he has, like, when you get maced, your eyes are fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you are puffy, you're red, you got rashes, like, they, nothing. That was air vapor that got sprayed at him.
Where's those helmets they were wearing for 2 minutes that one Nitro?
Oh my god, I forgot about this.
So yeah, Nash versus Goldberg is booked for tonight. Notably, Goldberg is fine with all of this, which, like, is the one saving grace is that you didn't turn him heel and go, no, I don't want to fight Kevin Nash.
That's
no.
True.
It's like, yeah, I'll kill him. Yeah, it's fine.
But very openly, I think this was Russo said this. Very openly, Russo yelled, I'm chasing ratings. Like, Mike, yeah. Okay, God, dude, say that in a quiet space. We get it.
We're a year away from Vince McMahon and the XFL. Now go in there and get me some ratings. There being the cheerleaders' locker room.
Amazing.
And then there's the dream sequence.
I remember that part.
We didn't get a Slim Jim ad. Randy Savage still on the payroll, I guess.
Spice. Beef.
Backstage, Jeff Jarrett talks to the Cat, and he's like, I want to face Hulk Hogan tonight for the title. I'm like, what? Why?
Yeah, good question.
Granted, this works out, but it's never really given an explanation for why. The best I can get is because Hogan's not here tonight, so it's more surprising to him.
Sure.
But yeah, he's like, I want Hogan. Okay. Like, the Cat kind of agrees, but then this does happen later, so I guess, yeah. In the back, Kevin Nash is put into a cop car, and all of a sudden, his quote-unquote nephew, like, apparates.
Yeah, this random child is just now part of this.
12, 13?
Yeah, like, give or take. He's a tween. But he's just now part of this, and he's distraught at the idea of his uncle getting put into the cop car.
Well, did you catch the nephew's name?
I did. His name is Hunter.
Wonder where they came up with that.
Is it a worker? Is it a shoot, brother? Is this his actual nephew? Is it just coincidence that his name is Hunter? Is his, you know, sister or brother a big fan of Raw? I don't know.
The problem is he wasn't Hunter Hearst Helmsley until, like, I guess 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, they renamed the kid.
they named him Paul, and then they went, oh, we gotta change it.
Gosh it.
then they change it to Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul Levesque.
So yeah, the nephew's here, and Russo is taunting Nash as being put into the cop car, and fucking Scott Steiner just comes bolted in and, like, dives over the cop car to, like, get to Russo. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We just cut away from that, too. There's not really a ending to that. We'll come back to these guys a couple times, but in terms of this portion, like, oh, okay.
So what is the over under that this kid is a actor?
I'm gonna say 80. I'm 80% confident. The only reason I don't think he's Kevin Nash's nephew.
I think he's somebody's kid.
That's the one thing I could see of, yeah. Like,
I think he's somebody backstage's kid. I don't think they went out of their way to cast a child.
If they were in Atlanta, I'd be 100% certain it's somebody's kid, but yeah, I could see that going either way. Because the kid does put it on a little bit later, but he doesn't have anything to do until
exactly.
The main event.
Yeah.
Commentary chats stories for tonight and then throws to a recap of Eric Bischoff pinning Terry Funk last week and then giving some context of, like, yeah, and then Bischoff just gave the Mamalukes the hardcore title.
Yeah.
So our upcoming match is the Mamalukes versus Terry Funk.
But Swerve, it's not the Mamalukes.
Yes, because Vito locks Johnny the Bull in the bathroom, and it's like, because he wants to do this match one-on-one.
But, like, why? You're going to win a handicap match.
I don't know, but it was unclear if Johnny the Bull was, like, just still taking a dump, or, like, because we see him lock it, so he's not trying to get out there.
Yeah, I think he was still in the bathroom, like, doing his thing.
Must have been a real killer poop.
Nick, I don't actually know if you know this, but killer? It's actually in the name Relic spelled backwards. And Johnny the Bull goes on to be Relic in another company. Did you know that?
But a Relic is spelled with a C.
Oh, you sweet summer child. It's actually spelled with a K here.
What about Chronic? What's that spelled with?
Chronic.
So Johnny the Bull goes to go to the arena, but is attacked backstage by Terry Funk. Funk throws Vito around and they brawl to a loading dock, like, garage door kind of space. I loved this as someone who has worked in arenas. Because Vito goes to open the door, and it's randomly stopped 3 feet up. That's not how that works. Funk knocks Vito down and then goes to lower the door onto Vito.
To, like, essentially decapitate him is the goal.
Or just, like, trap him, because he's just, like, across his chest.
Oh, it looked like he was going for his neck.
However, Funk presses the button, and you immediately see a crew member, like, slide in behind Terry Funk to stop this at an actual safe point. To, one, not injure Vito. Two, not fuck up the door.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know which one was more important to this guy. I feel like the door not getting fucked up might have been a little bit more important.
Well, Terry Funk then swings a chair at Vito's head. I couldn't tell how much he actually got Vito versus the door. Like, it was a good camera.
It's hard to say.
It was a good camera angle.
It looked like he got God a little.
So they then go to open the door, and a separate crew member or security then slides in to be like, hey, what are you doing?
What's going on here?
Terry Funk hits him with a chair. I noted, I'm like, oh, the first guy was wearing a hat. The second guy was not wearing a hat. It's the opposite of the Ultimate Warrior. Like, why are you wearing that hat? Why aren't you wearing that hat? Make it look like the same guy.
When does Ultimate Warrior wear a hat?
All right, this is a side tangent. This is in 96. There's a segment where he's about to be given this big framed glass painting, and it's going to get broken over his head. And so weird, for the first time in his career, Ultimate Warrior comes out wearing a hat.
Like a baseball cap?
Yes.
The Ultimate Warrior wearing a baseball cap feels so out of place.
Yes. In the documentary, like the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, this gets a good 10 minutes.
He's wearing a hat?
People going, why did he wear that hat? It's literally just like, yes, it's about to be broken over your head, and he wore a hat to protect his head.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense, but just like for the character, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. It stood out a lot, and everyone went, why would you do that? They head towards the arena. Funk throws trash cans at Vito. And then, right before they get to the arena, Funk hits Vito a few times with empty water jugs. Vito fully sells this and goes crashing through a table.
Empty water jugs just have such a good sound to them, too. There's the dunk.
They brawl to the DJ Ran booth. We're like, what?
Yeah, reminder that DJ Ran still exists.
And then we get our sad moment of the night. Emily, I'll let you take this.
So around where DJ Ran is, he's got his little DJ booth set up. There are two cages on either side. And this is, very common in a lot of dance clubs where they'll have dancers in these cages. And it's like a whole thing. It's like go-go dancers.
We immediately clocked what this was.
That's where the Nitro Girls have been relegated to.
Yeah. I don't even know who's still part of the Nitro Girls or is graduated out of it.
It can't be many because there's only two cages and they're very small, so it's only one person per, so you can only have two at a time.
It's just Spice.
Oh, I hope Spice is still employed.
Well, that's the catch here. Do you? Because that means she's dancing in the cage.
The cage is not inherently degrading. It's degrading for the amount of dance skill that these women did have and were being able to show off. Like dancing in a cage, that has its own merits. That's a whole other job. That's a whole other dancing job. That is not the dancing job that these women signed on for, I fear. And that's what's sad.
Yeah, I don't think TNA hired the Nitro Girls to dance in their cages. Because early days TNA, it's just what if we have sexy ladies in cages?
Ugh.
And I want to say they're suspended in the air, so they're just there all night.
Oh, yikes. That's even more different. But it's just I loved and hated the Nitro Girls because they had little dances and they had to choreograph them and work together, and they didn't choreograph them well or practice them well or perform them well, but they were doing it, damn it.
Emily's just they're trying their best.
They really were.
Maybe.
Sometimes. Spice was trying her best. Kimberly was there.
So Funk is knocked from one of these cages through a set of tables, but only the top one breaks, and kind of the same as the wall from Great American Bash, where it's we're just not angling these right, or whatever we're doing is wrong. People will just keep crashing and not hitting the tables.
Yeah.
In the ring, Vito hits a Pison plant, but they completely miss the chair they were trying to hit it on. Vito then hits a chair shot to knock Funk over the ropes, and then pile drives him from the apron through the table for the win. It was fuck.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
Post-match, Terry Funk goes over to Vito and shakes his hand of
Well, because in that spot, Vito took the entirety of that bump, but it looked good.
Well, in kayfabe, it's meant to be, you're pretty fucking hardcore. You won this. He won that fair and square. There was not anybody coming out to help him. No weird
That's
Johnny
true.
The Bull, at the last second. And I was like, is Vito turning face? No, Vito blindsides him right after. And we will talk about it a little bit next episode. I think I'm going to start doing a brief Thunder report at the start of these.
That's probably a good idea, because we did watch the Thunder after this, and it was kind of fun.
We skim watched it. You got mad at how much Kevin Nash kept coming out.
Every segment. Someone needs to chain that man to a chair.
But yeah, the Mamalukes just kind of implode after the show.
So we need to talk about that next week.
I think both these guys stick around until the end. So it's not all right, one of you's gone.
Mm.
But match-wise, I liked this. This was a bit of fun.
It was fun. Yeah. It was.
On a show that is admittedly lacking a lot of fun throughout, this was a bright spot for me.
I'm not sure it's like the brightest spot, but it was fun. Like, I have been enjoying watching Terry Funk, and I like the Mamalukes usually as a team. And Vito's not my favorite. I'm more of a Johnny the Bull girl. But this was fine. This was fun.
But yeah, now the Mamalukes are nothing but a relic.
Hey, Nick, I don't know if you know this, but...
Backstage, the cat looks for Hogan despite commentary blatantly saying he's not here yet. In a boiler room, Vampiro talks to the Hauer Power.
The Hauer Power?
Yes, it's an old joke of Undertaker not being able to say higher power a couple times.
Oh, okay. But yeah, what the fuck was this?
It's just a hooded guy talking to them.
It's like the Kermit the Frog meme where he's just like talking to him.
It is. All right. I don't know what energy this man is putting out in the world, but would you believe it? Spooky mystery character. It was going to be Christopher Daniels.
Jesus.
Why is it always going to be Christopher Daniels?
What is he doing? Who did he piss off?
I don't know. But like, Christopher Daniels is probably like early 20s here.
Maybe he was just desperately trying to get into everything.
I mean, into wrestling, yeah. But like, yeah. Christopher Daniels is signed. So I think he'll literally wrestle once. I went and looked and I'm like, I think Daniels has one Nitro. And I think AJ has one Nitro.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he appears on Thunder a couple times, but only one Nitro. But yeah, I'm like, why the fuck is it always Christopher Daniels for any... Ooh, we don't know who it's going to be.
Spooky.
Might be him. Like, Christopher Daniels isn't even anybody yet.
No.
It's late. Like, if this is after, like, 2007, I'm like, okay.
No, he's just a guy. That's what I'm saying. Reveal. Like, maybe he really is just getting into everyone's ear of like, oh, you need a guy? I'll do it. Like, maybe.
The problem with all these is when you introduce somebody under a hood... It's expected, like under a mask or a hood, it's expected
that there will be a reveal.
Reveal, and you're going to know the person.
Right.
If he comes out and goes, it's me, Austin, I'd be like, who the fuck are you?
It's like the Kiss Demon. Who the fuck is that?
I was thinking more, there's an episode of the Justice League cartoon where Lex Luthor and the Flash switch bodies.
Babe, it's Lex Luger.
And Lex Luthor was like, oh, I can find out who the Flash is. And he unmasks and he goes, I have no idea who this is. Because why would you?
It's just a guy.
But yeah, so Vampiro says he's done, but the Hauer Power is not done yet. I don't think this character's seen again, but...
The way this is presented, though, is very Hades and Megara and Hercules.
That's giving it too much energy.
But this is like Vampiro coming back to this hooded dude being like, yo, I did your bidding. That's all I needed to do, right?
Let me free.
Let me go. And Hades is like, no. I still got more for you to do. And Meg is like, why? I'm done. Let me love him.
Do you not know what James Woods' accent is?
No.
You went to like his little minions more than you went to him.
I'm not trying to do an impression. I'm just putting a voice on.
By the way, they wanted to call Christopher Daniels' character here God or Lord.
God?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got Christopher Daniels versus Vince McMahon, so we'll have to settle for the one version of God.
Sure.
In the parking lot, Kevin Nash tells Scott Steiner to look after his child nephew. I'm like, Jesus, of all the wrestlers to leave a kid
right?
with.
And then he's like, go stay with like Uncle Scott or whatever. I can't remember if it was this segment or later, but... Scott Steiner just, like, essentially hands the kid off to Shakira and Medeja.
That is later.
Like, I don't want to care about this kid. You guys take him.
Shane Douglas comes out to the ring and grabs a mic.
Oh, no. Why are we letting the French fry talk?
Franchises do not make excuses unless you signed up for Disney Plus, and then we have a couple excuses.
We got a contract.
He notes he had a bad month. But he guaranteed to take out the wall, and he did it. I mean, the wall's not here tonight, so I guess so.
Yes, sure.
He says his partner is back and brings out Buff Bagwell.
Did you miss him?
No.
Well,
I did.
Sad for you, because he's here.
I did kind of have the moment where I was like, 30 days is probably up around now. And, yep.
Oh, he's here, babe.
But yeah, he got suspended for like bullshit reasons. No, it was good reasons.
There were real reasons, but go off.
So Buff comes out doing his stupid fucking dance. He says he's still Buff and he's still the stuff. You had to actually explain this joke to me because it was such a bad joke. I didn't get it.
Oh my God.
He's had a problem with a pain in the ass called colonic.
So they're making fun of chronic
yeah.
by calling them colonic and calling them a pain in the ass. Your colon is in your ass.
Yeah.
Colonoscopy. Like, colon.
It's not colon.
Correct. It's a bad joke, but the fact that you didn't get it at all, I was like, let's pause. Let's talk about anatomy.
I did write, got him.
Colonic is bad.
So Colonic comes out for a match, I guess.
Don't call them Colonic.
Colonic has an ambulance match.
An ambulance.
So
if you don't get that joke, subscribe to our Patreon.
No, babe, that was the
Is that Pamela American Pumpkins?
Match. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought that was the other woman from Impact.
Christy Hemme. No, Christy Hemme's good at her job.
We're watching too many things.
She's not worth as much as they're paying her, but she's fairly good at her job.
They're probably paying Pamela Pumpkins too much.
So it's Chronic versus Team Prick. Adams works over Douglas, hits a gorilla press slam. Adams keeps throwing Douglas around and tags in Clark. Clark works Douglas over in the corner and then just loses the hard cam when going for a meltdown. Like, he has to do like a spin or two to be like, where the fuck is it?
I'm sorry. I need to like talk about my thought process really quickly. Because I was trying to remember that segment of like what was happening with Pamela. And I was like, okay, well, I know I've seen her talk to Kevin Nash. I know I've seen her talk to Jeff Jarrett. So, and then I was like, fuck, that could be literally either show. Anyway, continue, because now I'm just like thinking
the ambulance match is DDP and Mike Awesome.
Oh, I don't remember that then. I don't remember the person.
DDP is not in TNA in 2010, yeah. And Mike Awesome is dead by then, so.
Okay, that Debbie Downer, okay.
Buff breaks up the meltdown that Brian Clark's going for, and then just kind of like makes his own hot tag, cleans house, including a blockbuster. Douglas then force tags in, and Chronic counters a Pittsburgh plunge. Adams hits a full Nelson slam, and they hit high times on Douglas for the win. Post-match, Team Prick argue while Douglas has brass knuckles on. I'm like, weird I didn't see those on you earlier.
Yeah.
Douglas eventually blindsides Buff, and he tells Buff he just got himself franchised.
So you brought out your partner just to turn on your partner, who we haven't seen in a month.
I don't think that was premeditated turning. I think that was, what the fuck, we lost? Fuck you.
I guess, but then like that little like stinger line, I think you got franchised. That sounds like it was planned.
Look, we have to talk about something way more convoluted in terms of was it planned or not later. We don't have time for this one.
Oh God, okay.
Match-wise, this was nothing. Chronic is just... I remember saying, I'm like, oh, I'm curious to see Chronic in their natural habitat as opposed to, you know, the one match in WWE. Their natural habitat's pretty fucking similar.
Yeah, there's a reason why they didn't last long in WWE. Even if that situation didn't happen in WWE, they wouldn't have lasted.
By the way, that situation is just a match.
They like fucked up that match pretty horrifically, didn't they?
Just by wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a bad match.
Yeah, I mean, they fucked up that match implied like something happened that wasn't just they are them and that is their...
That was particularly bad in comparison to what this, like what they've shown in WCW, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're fine.
I don't know.
Here.
Great American Bash is pretty fucking bad, too.
I have already blocked it out of my brain.
Clearly. Backstage, the Cat asks Doug Dillinger, where's Hogan? Dillinger's like, I haven't seen him all day. And the Cat correctly asks, how am I supposed to run a show if the talent misses call time?
That is an incredibly valid question. Yeah. Like, what is the point of having a call time if nobody adheres to it?
Hogan does this every single time.
Yes.
And Hogan's at least actually being booked for things. I weirdly am more fine with Ric Flair doing it, because Flair usually shows up late and then gets into a problem with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, like, if you have a match scheduled, like, let's not be obtuse here and think that like the show is actually booked on the fly. It's not. There is a plan. There's at least, if even in kayfabe, there is a minimal plan of what's going to happen. And if you know that you're going to be on the show, be there at fucking call. If this were to happen on any other set or any like workspace, you'd be fired so fast. If you were constantly and consistently missing call times, yeah, you'd be suspended. You'd be fined. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, just for whatever reason in wrestling, that's not how it works. I want to see like backstage somewhere, like just like a fictional list of like backup matches. Mm. It's like, we put the kill time, what do we got?
Or like a strike list of like people who have like missed a couple of times, like this person's on two strikes, this person's on one strike.
Yeah, but you have to enforce that.
Just like even the idea that it's being documented somewhere would help my brain.
We then get Mean Gene with Billy Kidman. Gene tells Kidman about the title match, and Kidman says, oh, they'll need a special guest referee for that.
Guess it's me. Like, you just assumed the role.
Yeah. We then see a press conference from earlier today it's Paisley and the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea.
This should not have warranted a press conference.
He's now just the artist.
That's the whole announcement. So instead of him being Taff Cappy, he's just T.A. Ta. I will still refer to him as Taff Cappy because why wouldn't I?
Then for comedy, Pops, Huge Erection's grandfather.
Excuse me, it's General Erection.
No, it's Captain. Whenever we, I would say he gets promoted soon.
Oh, okay.
But Pops, Huge Erection's grandfather, is like fumbling under the table and he's like, I wanted some pie. I feel like we let the dementia part of this kind of breeze by when I was telling you about it at the Great American Bash.
So
I feel like we focused on a lot of the stupid shit that was active in that segment.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
true.
The underlying problem.
I don't know, and I'm very lucky that no one in my family has ever suffered from dementia. So I don't necessarily know what the disease actually entails in real life.
I guess,
don't think it's this, though.
Yeah, the thing is, they never flat out say it, but it's always like, I hate to fucking say, the subtler points of this are them trying to do that. Like, he's got a banana in his pocket. It's like, oh, he's wacky. He doesn't know things.
But that's not dementia.
Yeah, I mean, they're going...
Is it? I honestly don't know.
They're going for the essence of that, is the thing.
Just like forgetful, kooky old man?
Yeah.
I
think this gets worse. I think that's why... Because I've heard bits about this, and I'm like, ooh.
Great.
It's not good.
I love that. But yeah, I just don't feel like someone with dementia would be like pervy like this.
I'm not saying they're portraying it accurately. I'm saying,
oh no,
this
I
is
agree.
Vince Russo going, oh, you know what's funny, bro?
That was a good impression. It's just it's so perverted.
Yeah, because he wants some pie, and he actually finds pie. I don't know what the fuck
like
was
real up with life
that.
Pie, yeah. not like the rocks pie.
Don't you mean the people's pie?
No.
So that sets up a match for the actual show. The Misfits in Action come out to the ring with Pops. Captain Erection is mad at the artist for attacking Pops during that press conference. I'm like, no, that's called for.
No, that's valid, yeah.
You assaulted a woman. Let's say.
Yep, sure did.
This is where we find out he's his grandfather, not his dad. And I'm
yeah,
like,
we really thought this was his dad. And I was like, these ages don't match up necessarily. I mean, older
Bill
father,
DeMott's
sure.
Not exactly young here, so.
I guess that's, yeah. This man felt very old.
I kind of forgot what a shoot piece of shit Bill DeMott was.
Is he?
Oh, big time. He got sued and fired from WWE for bad training practices.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Erection makes a bunch of kind of dementia and incontinence jokes in regards to Pops. The artist and Paisley then come out to answer Erection's challenge, but instead they want Lieutenant Loco for the Cruiserweight title.
Why?
I mean, she's the manager, so I'm going to give props to fucking Paisley here. You turned that into, I want a Cruiserweight title match. And they went, yeah, sure.
I guess that's fair. Yeah that's, yeah, okay.
The logic didn't track on the Misfits in Action side.
Right.
Because you're not going to get a match with Pops. That's not a thing that's going to happen. So it's like, all right, let me get a title match. Okay. Like, oh, cool.
Sure. Very quickly, okay with that. I don't know.
So for the Cruiserweight title, it's the artist versus Lieutenant Loco. Loco pushes the artist off a 10-punch spot early and hits a missile dropkick. Then the artist just, like, forgets to do a move on, like, a leg breaker kind of position. Like, he just kind of grabs a leg and drops to the ground without doing anything. Both of us were like, what?
Sure.
What was that? Like, even I'll be, like, lenient of, like, okay, weird angles, whatever. He just dropped.
Yeah.
I'm like, Trevor ties the artist up in the corner for Major Guns to hit Shattered Dreams, but Paisley comes in to stop it. Referee is fine with all this.
Yeah.
Guns low blows Paisley, and then this causes the artist to be able to get out of being tied up for a full minute.
Sure.
Yeah. Lieutenant Loco hits a tornado DDT and wins. Post-match, Pops tries to give Paisley mouth-to-mouth, but is stopped.
Good.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Why is everyone being knocked out so easily?
Well, because we overdid it with the kidnapping, so we need to find something new.
Again, Paisley got hit with a low blow, and
she
was out.
Listen, a low blow does not hurt on a woman. That's true.
I'm not disputing that. I'm saying it doesn't cause you to pass out.
Maybe she fell and hit her head. I don't know. That match was a lot of bullshit and stupid, yeah, and I'm ready to move on.
I don't know how long Pop stick around for,
hopefully,
but I'm really
not
hoping,
long.
Yeah. I am fairly certain Booker gets free of all this in the 3 weeks off that Russo's not here.
Good. I hope he keeps the outfit, though. I like the outfit.
I don't think he does.
Damn.
What if he wears camo trunks?
No. I don't like the undies.
Backstage, Ric Flair and his family arrive in a limo. We see the cat is still waiting. Then we see Vince Russo prepping a bunch of ladies to wait on Goldberg. And Goldberg's like, I thought we were talking business. What the fuck is this?
And Russo's like, yeah, what the fuck is this? Ladies, get the hell out of here. Blah. Like, come on.
We exited that before we really had to question of like, were they supposed to like service him or wait on him?
Yes. I feel like it's the situation that's been happening the last couple weeks where they just have like women waiting. Like the Steiner girls, like before we downgraded to two, they were just like around and it was kind of like
I feel ambiguous of
what was actually going on with them.
Well, at least the Steiner girls now, it's like it is implied they fuck. It was the NWO girls when Pamela was there.
Pamela Pumpkins.
You remember, she was one of the NWO girls.
Nope. I don't remember the NWO girls at all. At least not their faces or their, you know, general. I knew they were there. I couldn't tell you like, oh, there's Pam.
Then we go back to the cat. He's still waiting on Hogan, who finally arrives.
About goddamn time.
The cat offers Hogan the title match, and Hogan's like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's like, I'll get it tonight. Then we get Jeriff walloping him with a fucking guitar shot. And for whatever reason, we pan over from Hulk Hogan's dead body to see Horace already knocked out.
Yeah, what?
I don't know why.
When did that happen?
Get him a paycheck. Jesus. Easy money for Horace. So yeah, Hogan is now going to go into his title match all banged up.
Or he's not even going to show up for his title match because he's knocked out.
So we'll get more on these two later, and we'll get more of our next segment. It's Vince Russo and David Flair coming out to the ring. Russo grabs a mic and tells David he's proud of him for last night. And Tony Schiavone actually like does give David Flair some credit of like, yeah, he did a decent job wrestling his dad.
He held his own, yeah.
Russo says he's here for one reason tonight. He's sick of being everyone's punching bag lately. He's from New York.
What? I had no idea.
And I think it's one of the times he says, I'm from New York. Fucking Scott Hudson goes, don't you mean New York City? Like, that's not the Gotham you think it is, Scott Hudson.
It's really not.
This is not, yo, you're from Scarsdale.
I can say, oh, I'm from Maryland. Don't you mean you're from Baltimore? Like, they're both correct.
Well, I'd say, I'm from New York. It's called New York, New York. Like,
that's true.
That's fine.
That is true.
Scott Hudson, what block you from, huh?
What neighborhood? What's your stop on the train?
Do you know Usnavi or what?
Usnavi.
Russo says the abuse ends here tonight with Ric Flair.
Who knew he had the idea for It Ends With Us before Colleen Hoover did?
Russo says Flair won't chop him again, and he's ending it tonight because he's going to retire Ric Flair. Ric Flair then comes out in street clothes and says, this is not New York, this is Richmond.
Correct.
Flair says last night he redeemed himself and he's a free man. You weren't before? Russo says he hates Flair, so Flair says that Russo's never going to be Space Mountain. And then he tells David to come home. Like it's over. Come on. We're done here. Then we get a back and forth. I was very unclear on where we ended. Because Ric Flair then pitches a dual retirement match. Winner gets David and runs the company with Bischoff. Because Flair even notes, like, yeah, Bischoff and I will work great together.
Oh, God.
But
that doesn't sound like a win for anybody.
He also pitches as part of this that Russo's going to get his head shaved bald.
There's too many factors in this.
That seems to be just if the match happens, he's going to shave Russo bald.
So
technically, if Flair loses, he's not getting his head shaved as part of the stipulation. But they're like, I'll do the match and I'm going to shave your head. It's like,
so the way that this match is going to work is the winner runs the show and also gets custody of David. Regardless, Vince's head is
fucking 21.
Yes. But regardless, Vince Russo's head is getting shaved by Rick.
I guess.
Huh?
Also, then Russo agrees if it's 2-on-1. And then Rick goes, I'm going to go get Reed.
So now it's 2-on-2.
But it's not.
So it's 2-on-1 with Reed in the corner for Rick.
Yeah.
I think we're thinking about this too hard.
There was parts of this where Ric Flair cannot hear Vince Russo. Like, he's going, say that again?
Oh, God.
Like, so that doesn't help the fact that this is already a confusing promo. Yeah. The fact that they can't fucking hear each other.
They're confusing each other because they can't hear each other.
So there is a match with Vince Russo and Ric Flair later. We'll get to that and all that entails when we get there.
I'm sure it'll be riveting.
We then see Goldberg and Kevin Nash waiting for their match as Billy Kidman comes out in a referee's outfit. And it's time for Jeff Jarrett versus Hollywood Hogan for the WCW title. I did note that I'm like, oh yeah, Jeff Jarrett's shirt still says NWO on the back.
It does, yeah, on the guitar.
But why make new merch for a jobber?
Yeah, seriously. This guy's going to be gone in a week anyway. We don't know him. We don't need to invest in him.
Jarrett grabs the mic, hits all of his catchphrases.
He's the chosen one with stroke, slap nuts.
He calls for a forfeit since Hogan is knocked out. But instead, Hogan slowly walks out to the ring and, oh man, this guy who has his bell run immediately is just whipping Jarrett's ass, throwing him around.
Can't take him down.
Hogan works Jarrett over the corner, repeatedly choking him. On the outside, Hogan whips and chokes Jarrett with his weight belt. Once again, the swerve hasn't happened yet, so it is still heel ref Billy Kidman being fine with all this.
Yes, but it does also seem like Billy is team Hogan.
Not like, at this point yet.
But in the match, it seems like it, because like there's a point where he tosses Hulk Hogan a chair to attack Jarrett with.
Yeah, that's the swerve.
Is that the swerve? Is that a swerve? That didn't feel like a swerve.
It's not a good swerve.
That did not feel like a swerve at all.
Well, in one of the most Hulk Hogan fucking moments of like, I have special wizard armor, Jarrett keeps getting beat down, so he pokes Hogan in the eye. Where normally, that like takes out the opponent. Hogan goes, no, and rakes Jarrett's eyes.
It's like, you poke my eyes, I tear your eyes out, brother.
It's the eye version of, you put one of ours in the hospital, we put two of yours in the morgue.
Jesus.
But eyes. Jarrett finally gets some offense, stomping Hogan, getting in the ring. Kidman stops a Jarrett 10-punch spot for some reason. Like, there was no, like, what? Like, the rules are lax here in WCW. This is a 10-punch spot. This is fine in every company.
I thought this was chill and cool and lax, bro.
They go back to the outside. Jarrett hits chair shots to the ribs. It's like, that's just one move he has lately. Just ribs. Edge of the chair to the ribs.
Yeah.
He wants it for a bigger chair shot. Kidman steals the chair away from Jarrett. He then throws the chair to Hogan, who hits Jarrett across the back. It's like, oh, you're aligning with Hulk Hogan now. That's kind of weird.
Again, this you said is a swerve. It does not feel like a swerve. It just feels like everyone's kind of fucking around.
Goldberg and Vince Russo then come out to the stage to watch. Then get a big boot and a leg drop to Jeff Jarrett. The crowd doesn't react.
No. Yeah, the crowd could not care less about this.
Like,
I kind of agree.
Even the leg drop. Like, it's a title match. He's about to potentially win the fucking title here.
I think we're all kind of burnt out on Hogan.
Hogan then goes for the pin. And Goldberg, his job is to break up this pin. And holy shit. He gets there at 2.99.
Oh my god, he nearly
missed it. Because
he
slips getting the ring, too. It's like, oh, fuck.
He fucked it up.
Kidman then eats a Goldberg spear for Hogan for some reason. And then Goldberg press slams Billy Kidman to the floor. Goldberg then spears Hogan anyway. And then Russo slides a table in the ring. Goldberg hits a jackhammer on Hogan through the table. And Jeff Jarrett spray paints him.
I thought we were done with the spray paint. The spray paint has been retired for a couple weeks now. And I don't really know why we felt the need to bring it back out.
G.I. Bro comes out to help. Goldberg and Russo bail. And we get Stretcher coming out for Hogan as we go to commercial.
Nobody wins, nobody loses, brother.
Just fucking pin Hogan.
No.
Take the pinfall. Goldberg has killed you.
No.
No, no contest. What the fuck?
I will not lose.
This is, again, this is my problem with the fucking lax rules of like, oh, well, match has to be thrown out. Too much chaos.
This is not that rare, though. I mean, this is even in companies where the rules aren't lax. Like, I've seen this happen in WWE.
Well, where when it's they're just not lax, like, it makes sense of like, if there's too much chaos, throw it out. But there's plenty of other matches that have way more chaos. That's fine.
Yeah.
Hogan doesn't want to be pinned going into his big title match.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he still has it, I guess, because...
I don't think that Hogan understands story building, because I feel like it'd be better if he were to like actually real life lose one or two, because then it would give him like a reason to build back up, you know?
Are you implying that there should be a story with ups and downs and motivations and arcs?
Correct.
We can't. That doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah, it sounds right. Oh, man. Can you imagine Hulk Hogan in Cody Rhodes' spot for the last couple years?
I can. It's called Roman Reigns.
No, I'm saying like if they actually had... imagine like copy paste Hogan into Cody and like the same storyline happened and Cody's just like losing and losing and losing and then he finally has this win moment. Like that would never happen with Hogan though.
To be fair, Cody wasn't losing that much. He lost the one big match and other than that.
Well, he just kept getting beat down, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, Hogan's fine getting beat down. Beat down isn't losing.
But he lost the big match.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. See, Hogan wouldn't have lost the big match. He wouldn't have allowed himself to lose the big match. That would have somehow become a no contest, too.
It does help when you have creative control written into your contract.
Yeah, but imagine he didn't.
Well, wonder if that'll come up at any point soon. Next up, we get DDP coming out to the ring wearing a shirt that just says, whatever, and he's holding a lemon.
This is the most, like, random bullshit.
He at least does immediately address it. It's he not does. Like, just like, oh, I bet you've been wondering why.
This gave me Randy Savage with the basket of cream. The cream and the crap.
It wasn't a basket. He was like magic.
No, just like the one cream thing.
I think he was pulling like out of his trunks and doing like magic tricks with them.
It gave that energy because DDP came out and he's like, this lemon is for the beer I'm going to drink after this match because I like lemon in my beer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the one thing. The Randy Savage one is like clever wordplay. This is just, I want a beer.
But he's just holding a whole ass lemon. Does he have a knife? Is he going to like cut a wedge? Is he just going to drop the lemon in the pint of beer?
We mentioned the XFL earlier. Seeing this lemon, I was reminded of XFL 2, where at the Electric DC Boogaloo. Defenders game, they had like vodka lemonades with a whole lemon in there.
Oh, yeah. They have that in like...
People were throwing them on the field.
Oh, shit. No, they have those drinks at like Orioles baseball games. Yeah, just like the whole ass lemon in there. I don't understand it. And just like a shot of Deep Eddie's. And if you say, I just want a lemonade, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. When are you ever saying that, though?
I'm not the one that said it. Somebody else said it. Somebody else was like, I'm just looking for a lemonade. And they're like, no, you have to also have the liquor.
So DDP says his whole life, people have told him he can't. He points to becoming a wrestler, main eventing shows, and becoming champion.
Specifically at his age.
Yeah. Paige says Bischoff half-heartedly used to believe in him, which brings Bischoff, Kimberly, and Canyon out to the stage. Paige says back in the day, Kimberly was a real woman, and then focuses on Canyon and talks about how much he taught him, and that he taught him that it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And Paige says after last night, he doesn't really feel like getting back up. I kind of don't blame him.
Yeah.
Because he does address the fact that people keep turning on me. Mike today is like, yeah, maybe you're the problem. It's like, maybe I am. So,
at least he's self-aware.
He says this job cost him his wife and his friends, and he doesn't want to work for Bischoff, so he just leaves.
Yeah, can't blame him.
And Bischoff goes from like, wait, what are you doing?
You're leaving?
What?
Yeah.
And DDP walks off into the stands and leaves the arena. We will not see DDP for a couple months.
Damn, okay. DDP's got a lot going on at home. Maybe he needs the time off. In kayfabe, I mean.
I think their marriage is still fine here. I know they do eventually get divorced.
Yeah, I don't think that this
like,
is actually
they're
real
still,
life.
Like, very amicable.
Yeah. I don't think this is real life. I can't imagine DDP having a messy divorce.
Well, no, he's just too busy with his nice long lens taking pictures of Sarah.
I'm talking about in 2024. Like, DDP is still everywhere that other wrestlers are. He's just, like, a jovial, nice guy. Like, I can't imagine his divorce as being messy.
Personally... And this is a backhanded compliment. It's part of the reason why I love you is I don't think I could be with somebody that positive. I need somebody who's like, no, this fucking sucks sometimes.
Yeah, there's a difference between like toxic positivity and optimism.
Yeah.
Like, I think I am optimistic. I don't think I'm toxically positive, but I can also recognize, I think we both can. We can both recognize that not everything is hunky-dory happy all the time. Like, we can recognize like, yeah, that fucking blew. Like, I'm going to be mad for a day or two. But it's going to be fine.
Well, speaking of blowing, we have our upcoming segment. Before that, commentary talks the last segment, then plugs Reload on WCW.com. And then they give a like half an update on Sting. They've been teasing this all show.
Yeah, because they won't actually say what happened to him because they want you to buy the fucking pay-per-view. So they can only talk about it a little.
He was sent to a burn unit. We don't know anything else.
That's all.
That's not really an update.
So, but like from that, you can infer like, okay, yeah, Sting is the one that got caught on fire. And from the way they're talking about it, pretty badly. So like, let's buy the pay-per-view, I guess, and watch it.
I want to change my segue. It should have been speaking of blowing and blow torches.
Ah, there you go.
And speaking of that, Vampiro comes out to the ring with a mic.
Get ready.
Last night, he lit Sting on fire and he feels no remorse. Vampiro says that Sting will remember him forever and the nightmare is just beginning. He's going to hell and asks who has the balls to go with him. And Emily, who has the balls to go with him?
I don't even know how to announce this because it caught me so off guard. I forgot that this person existed. I forgot that this gimmick was a thing. It's the fucking Kiss Demon.
It's Dale Torborg.
And they call him Dale Torborg. They refer to him by Torborg. They fucking buried this man. The demon is cool, fresh, interesting. Dale Torborg is going to sell me a used car.
My pronouns are Torborg. So, the demon, as part of his entrance, grabs a torch to, like, spit fire. And it's just a little bit. It was not cool.
Oh, I still can't decide if this whole entrance and, you know, revelation is a good bit or a bad bit. It's a bit. It's going to be my best or my worst. I have not decided which bit, honestly.
I think part of that just comes from, I don't want to see Vampiro versus the fucking demon.
Oh, we're gonna.
I mean, we literally get it here, kind of, because this is somewhat of a match. Vampiro attacks the demon on the floor, and they quickly get in the ring, but then go back out and brawl around ringside. They then go up the ramp, and Vampiro climbs up the truss to the bottom part of the Tron, and he poses, some pyro goes off, and then he half-heartedly dives onto the demon, and as part of this, he, like, cuts his shoulder, and that's just it.
Yeah, there's cut away from that. Yeah. I feel like something went wrong, but I guess it didn't.
I could not find anything on this being fucked. We said we'll talk about Thunder next one, but they do lean into, oh yeah, you totally know Asia and Dale Torborg are engaged, right?
Okay, so it's on Thunder where they just fully call him Dale Torborg.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demon is dead. Long live the demon. It's all about Dale Torborg now.
Yeah, because Asia comes out and, like, spits blood in Vampiro's face.
Yeah.
Sorry, red viscous liquid.
Y'all, maybe we should be watching Thunder because Thunder's a trip.
But yeah, I guess that's the new spooky feud.
And somehow the Howard Power is going to be involved in this too.
I get it. I don't think he is.
Then what the point? What was the point?
They bail on that. I think he's supposed
this
to
quickly?
Be.
This quickly?
Like I said, he's never revealed to be Christopher Daniels.
No, that's fine. He can not be revealed, but he has to, like, be the one to be like, you will be fighting the demon. Like, I want him to just say one thing.
Admittedly, someone who you probably should have had that be, who just recently passed away in 2024, have Kevin Sullivan do it. Have him,
Sullivan,
the master, the taskmaster. Like,
yeah,
do that shit.
That would have been good.
Let's go backstage. Scott Steiner leaves Hunter with Shakira. It's like, yep, just stay
with
her.
Yeah, this is babysitting now.
In a locker room, Vince Russo is very worried. He's like, I don't want to have my head and my ass shaved.
Well, we never talked about shaving your ass.
I think he does say at some point.
Shave your ass? Yeah. I don't want to see your ass. I don't want to shave your ass.
We then get Kimberly and Canyon coming out to DDP's music.
Ugh.
Kimberly does have a funny line of like, I'm so broken up about DDP's retirement. Okay, I'm over it. Kimberly says she now has an officially licensed product. Because anybody who's anybody has an officially licensed product.
Is that, yeah?
It's totally me, a female cologne.
Is female cologne not just perfume?
I was going to ask you.
I really thought it was just, I thought female cologne was perfume, but she's saying female cologne as if it's something different.
It's $395 a bottle. And look, I already was, but Mark Madden has a fucking line here that word for word is just, look at her cleavage.
Yeah, literally straight up.
Yeah, like not trying to dance around.
He didn't even say Snoochie Boochie. He just said, look at her cleavage.
Well, that's only for Stacy.
Still.
And, you know, they're good boobs, but like,
I think there's
keep it in your pants.
So I have this weird mental philosophy around this of like, when we talk about women's bodies in this sense, especially in this era, like calling them puppies, calling them, like making like offhanded comments, like the Snoochie Boochie, like making like inner jokes almost. Like, that's just kind of like, ugh, whatever. I shouldn't have a feeling like that. I'm not going to get into the social aspects of it. Just like, everybody take a deep breath. When we go straight for the anatomical word for things, I feel like it's dirtier.
Because you're not hiding it at all.
It's, yeah, I guess that's it. It's so outwardly, viscerally sexual that there's no like, ooh, Snoochie Boochies. Like, you're not, there's no hiding. You're right. It's just dirtier. And that just, like, makes me more uncomfortable. I think it's something that's along, like, for men, when we say, like, oh, he's wearing gray sweatpants, versus, like, look at his penis. That's different.
Yeah, that's only fine if you're a pole vaulter.
I'm not gonna get into that. Yeah, it just, it felt viscerally gross. Like, I had a physical reaction, just like, ugh. Like, don't say that. I can get over the, like, puppies of it all, but straight up saying boobs or cleavage is just, ugh.
So you're off your soapbox, about to get onto mine. Mm-hmm. Canyon grabs the mic and says that his injury was faked, but he was still in the hospital for that whole time.
Right.
The heel turn is based on when I was in the hospital, Eric Bischoff came to visit me more than anybody else.
Right.
But after that back injury, wink. So,
make it make sense.
Yeah. You can't have your cake and eat your pie. That's two different things.
We're having a lot of pie tonight.
It's two different fucking things. You need to pick a lane. Either you got hurt and Eric Bischoff was there, or like...
Or you're faking it and Eric Bischoff was in on the fake.
Yeah.
Those are the only two ways the storyline works.
Maybe the soapbox wasn't that tall because it just doesn't work. It's Russo trying to do too many fucking swerves at once. To where, yes, you've swerved off the road here. It doesn't make sense.
Yes, that's true. But weren't we talking about, like, at the very beginning of the show where we're like... Like, the thing that Kevin Nash was saying of, like, yeah, the company gave you everything, Goldberg, but actually we also made you. It's like, they're all trying to do, like, two storylines in one time.
Yeah.
Like, did nobody write... Who's writing this show?
Vince Russo.
Did he actually write down words?
I don't know.
I don't think he did.
Canyon says he's going to take over DDP's life, and he debuts Positively Canyon.
The book.
It looks hilarious because it's very clearly, it's not even a Photoshop job. It's like a fucking like tape job.
Yeah, he printed out the word Canyon on a piece of printer paper, taped it over page.
And like has a photo of himself.
Yeah.
I love this.
I think it's really funny. It's very charming.
The fact that it's so rinky-dink helps it.
Yes, I agree.
I think it gets worse a little bit.
I hope it does.
I know. The joke will work even more if it gets worse and worse every week.
I hope it gets worse, honestly.
He also says he's taking back the diamond cutter and he wants to debut it on any jabroni in the back.
Is it a debut if it's just stealing a move? The diamond cutter, he's not even renaming it.
I don't worry about it.
Don't use words that don't mean words.
Scott Steiner then comes out, grabs a mic. He says that being with Kimberly isn't a big deal. Everyone's been with that bitch.
Okay, we're going to slut shame here.
And this is now a match. It's now Scott Steiner versus Positively Canyon. Steiner throws Canyon around, hits a T-bone suplex. Canyon low blows Steiner, hits a sit-out Alabama slam in a nice cool spot. Canyon then just diamond cutters Charles Robinson.
Why?
Because he wanted to hit it. It wasn't going to hit it on Steiner. Steiner then press slams Canyon and hits a belly-to-belly on him. As Kimberly just, like, suddenly goes to the back, Steiner goes for a Steiner recliner, but Mike Awesome stops it, and Canyon and Awesome beat down Steiner. We didn't get Chronic. Coming out to make the save, and both chokeslam the heels. Awesome and Canyon casually leave through the crowd. So casually, in fact, that Chronic, like, catch up to them before they leave.
Yeah.
Kimberly goes to, I guess, follow, but suddenly Miss Hancock shows up in the crowd.
She, like, jump scared. She was out of nowhere.
And goes to beat down Kimberly, but Kimberly has a way to get out of this. She's going to spray the female cologne in Stacy's eyes. However, the bottle's facing the wrong way, and Kimberly just sprays herself. Stacy still sells this.
God bless Stacy.
Kimberly then apparently has theme music, as that just ends the segment.
Yeah, what?
And Emily, she has theme music just in time for Kimberly to never be seen on WCW television
again.
That's
it for Kimberly?
Yes.
Why?
We will talk about that a little bit more next week, but she has a nice, fun altercation with a Mr. Scott Steiner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me more.
The short version is he calls her the C word.
I've been called way worse.
Yeah.
Calm down. But
they get into a whole thing, and I think she goes, I don't want to fucking be here anymore, and leaves. And I don't know if we even see her anywhere in wrestling after that. She's enough, like, side businesses and stuff going on. And
fair.
She has
So she and DDP just, like, take some time off together.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next thing people remember her being on screen for is she has, like, a little moment in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh.
She is the date where the boob pops out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a wrap.
So that must be why they bring Asia back on Thunder, because they don't have any women right now, really.
Oh, sorry, yeah, we were saying once one woman leaves,
bring back another one.
I think technically she doesn't walk out until next week.
Sure.
But still.
Still.
Yeah, but that's it for Kimberly.
Wow.
That's been quite a journey with her.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best one.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a good journey, but it was definitely a journey.
Yeah, they very clearly didn't have much for her after she turns on DDP.
No. Yeah, she had one note to hit in her character. I did kind of like, I enjoyed the silly backstage segments of her with Miss Elizabeth. Like, those were funny.
Yeah, she has the problem a lot of women have in WCW, where it's like, okay, you got hired to be a non-wrestler. We've basically eliminated that role, and you don't want to train to be a wrestler.
Right.
Which, like, that's fine that you don't want that. However, there's not really a spot for you. And even if you want to be a wrestler, we don't have a women's division.
Right.
Like, when was the last time Medusa wrestled a match?
Is she still on the roster?
We saw her somewhat recently. Really?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, the fact that they got rid of the Nitro Girls definitely didn't help her, but she was already kind of over that by then, and apparently she also had a little bit of an ego on her.
No kidding.
Yeah. No, like, for reals.
Oh, no, I believe it.
Yeah.
100% I believe it.
So, yeah, Kimberly's one that I think we kind of missed her peak as well. The fact that she's not part of this is probably for the best, because they managed to dance around the potential swingers element of DDP and Kimberly. That's a longstanding rumor.
I can see that.
Yeah, apparently it's like, oh, they might swing with Eric Bischoff and his wife.
Yeah, you've told me that.
They managed to dance around that long enough to where I'm like, I fucking wonder if she had been there longer, would they have just been outright with it? I mean,
that's possible.
You got close with Steiner being like, everyone's been with that bitch.
That's
like,
true. I mean, so. I can definitely see them weaponizing that fact. That sounds like something Russo would be like, oh, this would be a great storyline.
Yeah.
Bischoff has been sleeping with Kimberly. And then, oh my God, DDP's been sleeping with Bischoff's wife. What?
And then Kimberly starts banging me, bro.
And that's where you jump the shark. You're not involved, Vince. No one invited you.
Backstage, Ric Flair and Reed Flair head to the ring. We then see Pamela Pumpkins trying to interview Scott Steiner. And I say trying to interview because he grabs the mic and goes, you're very beautiful, but not now.
He shuts her down so hard. It's like, not right now.
Oh,
later, we'll talk, but yeah, not right now.
No, I read that as, we're not even going to talk. Just like, that was her trying to bone. And he's like, I don't have time for that right now.
Do you think in kayfabe he doesn't realize that she is the interviewer and he just thinks that she's some woman trying to come on to him?
Oh, 1,000%. In kayfabe, yes. I think in reality,
you're very beautiful, but 20%
of the way. Steiner threatens Awesome, and then he realizes he doesn't know where Hunter went.
Hunter? Well, he gave it to Shakira.
Yeah.
Where's Shakira?
I'll tell you where she is after this.
Oh, no.
No longer appearing on WCW.
We've already lost Shakira now, too? Yeah. Oh, my God. I just learned who she was. Yeah.
Medeja sticks around.
I just learned who Shakira and Medeja are, okay?
Yeah, Shakira's very much also in the category of not a wrestler, doesn't want to become a wrestler, doesn't want to take bumps. Medeja will do a top rope cross body.
We just saw that, didn't we?
Damn. So Shakira appears on Thunder, and then that's it.
Damn.
And I kind of confirm, because the thumbnail for the next Nitro is a shot of Nash, Steiner, and only Medeja.
Wow. Damn, they're dropping like flies.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird couple weeks.
Okay.
Well, let's go to our second to last match tonight. It is Vince Russo and David Flair versus just Ric Flair. I will try to...
Yeah, you're going to have to say David and Rick.
Yeah, so I was going to say, not Reed Flair. I'm going to try to present this as is and try to leave my confusion at the door now that I've seen all of it.
Okay, that's fair.
Because Ric Flair comes out with Reed and also like brings out like a gym bag. I'm like, what the fuck's in there? And he half flashed it. We're like, what is that? Oh, it's an electric razor. Okay.
Yeah, because he just kind of like pulls out and like whips it around a little bit. And we're like, what the fuck?
Rick and David start and Rick chops the hell out of David. David crashes on a Flair turnbuckle spot and Russo comes in. So Flair chops him. But Russo's wearing a catcher's chest protector, so it doesn't have any effect.
Much like, come on, you gotta have a Pokemon for this.
Know. Much like using Brick Break on a Phantump.
There you go. I can always depend on you to pull out random fucking Pokemon out of your ass.
See, I try to base it on like the move or the person. Flair then immediately takes the protector off and rips Russo's shirt and chops him twice. Rick back body drops David and hits a big vertical suplex. Rick then locks in the figure four on David, so Russo breaks it up with a baseball bat, and that's pretty much the end of Ric Flair's offense for this.
Yeah.
Because Russo chokes Rick with a bat. By the way, that's like the first time he got hit this whole fucking match.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Russo chokes Rick with a bat, so Reed tries to stop him, but David grabs Reed. Russo then tells Beth to get in the ring, and...
And she does?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, the weirder part is, he's like, okay, hit your husband with a bat. She doesn't do it, so he just goes back to hitting Rick. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, why would she? Why would she have done that?
Oh, sorry, not with the bat, with the Statue of Liberty toy.
Oh, sure. But, like, why would she have listened? Like, no, I'm not getting in that ring, absolutely not.
Yeah, he hits him with it and then chokes him some more. Then we get Charlotte Flair running into the
Hell
ring.
Hell yeah, Char.
Tries to stop Russo, but R&B security stops her. David Flair locks into figure four, and the way they said it on commentary is Megan Flair.
Megan Flair.
Throws in the towel. So, Rick Flair is now retired.
We're swinging by Charlotte's inclusion here, because she is the only one, she is the only Flair that is doing any work in this match right now.
She had her working boots on.
Yes, she did, and it's very clear why she is the one that became the successful wrestler between her and David. She knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And she came in, guns blazing, ready to fucking go. Her father couldn't do that. David wasn't doing that. Her mom wasn't doing it. Megan wanted to be nowhere near this. Charlotte knows what the fuck is up.
Yeah, I did laugh last episode. You were like, yeah, Megan wants nothing to do with any of this. And her main role is throwing in a towel, stop wrestling.
Yes, Megan wants to be as far away from this whole industry as possible.
But yeah, the crowd finally like perks up to chant bullshit as Flair is now retired. Russo and David then shave Ric Flair's head. And then they shave part of Reed Flair's head.
Why did they shave Reed's head?
Because they're fuckers.
But I was honestly shocked that they shaved Ric Flair's head.
Yeah, and we quickly cut away to hype up the main event. It was like lingering on this.
No, I don't think... I think maybe that was part of the stipulation of like, you can do it, but you will not linger on this.
I don't know why we didn't do this last night.
Mm.
Like, it felt weird to just, let's do it yesterday, and then just like, oh, nope, actually now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe just because no one's buying your pay-per-views, but, Emily, we will not see Ric Flair for several months.
Oh, my God.
He's also taking some time off.
Oh, my God. We don't have several months left of this company.
He's getting rotator cuff surgery.
Oh, Jesus.
By the time he's back, his hair is, it's not back to what it is now, but he's not bald.
Jesus. Yeah, we don't have several months left. Yeah. We don't even have a year left. How long is he gone?
I don't know.
Does he come back just to say goodbye? Wow, okay.
But yeah, so we are down almost everyone in the Millionaires Club right now.
Yeah, because in this episode alone, we've lost DDP, Kimberly. Kimberly, I guess Sting is technically out for a while.
Yeah, Sting's got run out. Luger's gone.
Yeah.
Kurt Hennig is like released.
I guess it's just Nash?
It's just Nash and Hogan.
Is Hogan still with us?
Well, I guess Hogan got written off until the pay-per-view, so...
Yeah, so it's really just Nash holding down the Millionaires Club.
Yeah.
Not much of a club.
Yeah, and even the New Blood, they're distancing themselves from that a little bit, too.
That storyline went fucking nowhere.
Keep in mind, the pay-per-view after Bash of the Beach is called New Blood Rising.
But the New Blood is, like, actively dying.
Yep.
Cool.
They are fully dead by the pay-per-view.
Amazing.
Match-wise, this was just an angle. It wasn't.
Oh, this wasn't a match. Yeah. This was just a storyline.
But you were correct in that him retiring means nothing.
I've been watching enough wrestling over the last 6 years, I know.
And now it's time for our main event. It is Kevin Nash versus Goldberg. Nash is brought out to the ring straight from the cop car, so he's still in his street clothes. The New Blood come out to the ring with Goldberg and kind of just watch from the ramp. Nash attacks Goldberg as soon as he gets in the ring. Nash hits a big boot, and Goldberg regroups on the floor. Goldberg hits a side kick, which I'm trying to find a tasteful way to call that a heart kick. I don't know if I can. Because it's that kick. It's the one that retired Bret Hart.
Yeah, I don't think you can call that anything, though. I don't think that you can give that a name affiliated with Bret Hart.
Every time he does it, I'm like, ooh, that's the one.
Don't do it.
Goldberg chokes Nash in the corner, and they just like stay in the corner to Goldberg chance as he hits a low blow.
This is just a slugfest.
Nash gets the advantage for a second, so the New Blood distract him, and Goldberg hits a bad chair shot. Like, he whiffs by about a foot.
Uh-huh.
In a replay on Thunder, they managed to hide it a little bit.
Yeah, but, they really do some good angle work, some angle doctoring, I guess.
So Goldberg beats down Nash as Hunter has to watch.
It's like they're forcing him to watch. Like, this poor kid is just, like, crying watching his uncle
get beat down. And then Russo comes out to taunt the kid.
Yeah, what the fuck? Russo has, like, a weird obsession with, like, including children in these matches.
Wait, they took him. He kind of got kidnapped here.
Oh, my God. It never ends.
Nash is out cold. So Scott Steiner comes out to make the save, but then beat down by police with nightsticks, and then is arrested, and then the cat hits a kick to Steiner. Nash's nephew checks on Nash as Goldberg and Russo celebrate. Russo has to be like, no, get closer to Kevin Nash for the shot. We need this. And that's kind of it.
That's it, yeah. This is a weird main event.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of a nothing
burger. Again,
main
more
event.
Of an angle than a match.
Yeah.
But, like, not. I mean, the chair shot was maybe the screwiest thing, but chair shots are fine. So it's not even that screwy. He just got a little distracted by other people. So Goldberg can just beat Kevin Nash, is the short version. What they want you to do, they want you to think is like, oh, he had to cheat to beat him.
Right.
But no, he didn't. He didn't cheat at all. But what, also, Kevin Nash didn't lose. No contest.
Exactly.
Can someone fucking lose?
How dare you suggest that someone has to lose?
I'm amazed Jared actually pinned Nash on pay-per-view. I would assume it just like, oh, fade to black.
Right.
No, folks, we're out of time.
Oh, no. We'll stick with this through the whole match. Never mind. We're out. Sorry, bye. Yeah, no.
But oof, buddy, that was a bad Nitro.
It was a show. That's for
I'm wondering
sure.
if that's partially why people flicked over. Like, how's WWE doing?
I need a palate cleanser.
Should I start watching this only?
I can't blame him.
Yeah, this is very much the vegetables episode because I don't know what else we get. I just know we get Three Count versus the Young Dragons on the next show. And Vince Russo has openly talked about how he does not like people who don't speak English. So the Young Dragons aren't getting a look in on his show.
Yeah, I hope this is enough for the Young Dragons to like actually start getting themselves a push somewhere. Maybe not WCW, but somebody else is watching and is just like, oh, you're good.
Good old Jamie San.
Yeah. Oh, Jamie San. This is so fucking bad.
And hey, we'll get to see Shannon Moore not talking about fucking Dilly Gaff.
The book of Dilly Gaff.
Yeah. If you're not listening to our Patreon, Shannon Moore and TNA is a whole thing.
I had to explain to Nick what Dilly Gaff meant. Yes, I did. You did not know at first.
Don't worry. They fucking make sure you know.
Yeah, after a while they do.
So before we get into the outro stuff, I do have two final backstage notes.
Oh, God. Are we losing more people?
Well, one I've kind of been mentioning. Vince Russo soft quits over the weekend.
Soft quits.
Yes. That's why he's not writing the next three shows. Because he's like, I quit. I'm not coming back.
Why?
Basically because he feels hampered by standards and practices and the process and yada yada. In short, it's basically because last Monday with the Goldberg rating, they did not do a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bischoff and Russo's boss came to them and was like, what the fuck? And this kind of results in him being like, oh, fine, I'm going home. So Vince Russo will be back. That said, this is the final in-person appearance in WCW for one Mr. Eric Bischoff.
Really?
We will talk more about that at Bash at the Beach.
Fuck!
He makes a phone call in months from now, but I checked. He is not on any of the upcoming shows. I don't think he's even there, because he also just like disappears to go on vacation, not doing anything. But
Nick, I want to just like barrel through and watch the rest of the episode so we can finally fucking watch Bash at the Beach.
I know.
I just want to like barrel through. We can just like watch and record every day this week just to get it through and get it done. I want to watch this fucking pay-per-view so badly.
Oh, man. It's going to be a whole thing.
And I know I'm going to get let down. I know it's not going to be as big as I'm hyping up in my mind, but you have hyped it up and this wrestling culture has hyped it up. I want to fucking know.
It's kind of like Survivor Series 97 at this point, where it's like, yeah, it's about this one thing, nothing else, whatever. So yeah, I guess the next time Eric Bischoff appears in person on a live wrestling show is when he's revealed to be the general manager of Raw in 2002.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh my, well, that's only 2002. I thought that was like later in the 2000s.
In which they fucking spoil it by having him interact with somebody backstage before he comes out. But,
that's
a story for another day. We need to focus on today's story, and today's story is best bit, worst bit, and MVP.
We have to finish the story.
Emily, what is your best bit?
I'm between two. One's a silly one, one's a probably real one. Which one do you want first?
The real one.
You want to hear the real one first? That's lame, boring. The Funk vs. Vito match.
Yes, I agree. Easily. That is the best bit on this show. All right, and then, your funny one is You're Very Beautiful, but on now.
How'd you know?
Because you said as much. Oh, God. All right.
What's your best bit?
Vito.
Oh, do you agree?
Funk,
okay.
Yeah. Emily, what is your worst bit?
The fucking demon. The demon returning is so bad. It's so, it does not make me excited for anything to come. It's not going to be good. I I don't want it. I'd like to return it.
I'm giving mine to a match and all of the setup for the match. I'm giving it to Jeff Jarrett versus Hulk Hogan for everything that it fucking means and okay. everything that it entails. And, like, I mentioned it during the match, but the poke to the eye being followed up with the rake of the eyes just kind of broke me a little yeah. bit of, like, fucking Christ, Terry.
Jesus, Terry.
All right. And then, Emily, I struggled a lot with this one. Who is your MVP?
There was only one choice. It's a Flair. It's not David. It's not not Rick. It's not Reed.
Jesus. It's Megan.
Woo! It's Charlotte Flair.
Jesus Christ.
Ashley Fleer.
She's going to throw off all the algorithms.
Yep. She's the only one that came in that match and did anything worthwhile.
You know, I figured there was a potential streak to be broken here. Because I was looking and I'm like, who was good on this show? And you're very beautiful, Emily, but not now. Because the MVP has to be Scott Steiner.
Okay, fair. I thought you were about to give it to Pamela Pumpkins.
No. No. Scott Steiner. You have never given Scott Steiner MVP, and I figured maybe this one.
No.
But that's all for the June 12th, 2000 Monday Nitro. Next up, it's Rey Mysterio Nitro.
Ooh.
You know, it's 619.
Oh, well, fuck. Booyaka!
He's still hurt, so
he should not be
if he has a match, I'm worried for him.
Well, we don't have anybody else. Everyone's gone.
No, Emily, we still got Chronic. We got Buff Bagwell.
Oh, yeah, Buff Bagwell just returned.
We got the French fries.
Nick, I'm realizing we still have the Judy Bagwell shit to get to.
Yes.
That hasn't happened yet.
That's in New Blood Rising.
All right, well, let's wrap this up because Mr. Ruthless is demanding to go get some attention.
Yeah, he's giving me the eyes. But while you're waiting on the road to Bash the Beach or listen to some of our back catalog, you can do so everywhere podcasts are found except for SoundCloud. We had a temporary Spotify issue with Great American Bash. We got it solved within the day. So
yeah.
We are back up and running over there and have fully sorted out our hosting stuff. So We are good.
That being said, if you come across any weird issues anywhere on any platforms you listen to, please let us know because we don't hop around every single platform.
And you can let us know on social media at Butts in the Pod, everywhere except Facebook, where it's the Butts in the Seats podcast. And lastly, we have our Patreon, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you, I think, like 18 or 19 bonus episodes at this point, including we're chugging through the new Monday Night Wars.
We are.
And we recently did Bash the Beach 94, and we will soon be doing a new TV show. We are still figuring out what.
If you saw us on Twitter, you might have seen the idea, but we're figuring it out.
Well, Emily, any closing thoughts before we get out of here and then go take the boy?
No, I don't think so. I just want to watch the fucking... Honestly, all I want to do is watch Dark Side of the Ring. That's what I want.
Well, Emily, let me tell you a long tale about the territories and how the NWO was formed.
Jesus Christ.
And I'll be doing that until the next episode. But I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Goodbye.
So in 1983...
Stop!